It is Tuesday, April 2nd. It is WrestleMania week. I'm Raj Geary, along with the Blueprint, Matt Morgan. Matt, how are you doing today?
It's excited. WrestleMania week.
It's a crazy week. There's so much going on. We were talking about what days we should do podcasts, and I feel like more and more keeps coming up. And we'll talk about this online, but it's like, oh, shoot, should we do one the day after WrestleMania for Raw? So we'll talk about that later. Yeah. So yeah, a huge, already a big news week, a big episode of Raw last night. The Rock made an appearance, Roman Reigns, they beat the holy hell out of Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. Those belt shots just looked like it hurt. Oof, like they really bad.
Oh, so as the person that took those whips from it, people remember Lance Cade, who's no longer with us, a good buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. He put the licking to me with that once. And boy, from experience, does that sting. I'm telling you, you've never seen Matt Morgan sell more than that. And same with Cody and Seth last night. Folks, that wasn't like them trying to sell. It's easy to sell those because it stings. Oh.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to take those, but kudos to them. I thought that's what a go-home episode should be. I remember all those years under Vince where the go-home episode, and it'd be like some match with two people not on the pay-per-view. And you're right. It just made no sense.
Or it'd be in a crisscross tag match somehow.
Right. Yep. I feel like, do you remember Joey Styles on that episode of Raw where JBL like lowered his seat and he looked like six, 3 feet shorter than the other guys? That's how I feel tonight, how our camera angles are.
I'll sit back. There we go.
And I'll come up. All right. A busy news week. CM Punk had a great interview with Ariel Helwani. It's one of those things with CM Punk, like no matter how you feel about him, when you're watching these interviews, you just feel like he's telling mostly the truth.
Yes.
He was asked about Vince McMahon. We'll kind of go through everything. But he kind of gave one of the best answers I thought regarding Vince McMahon that we've seen so far.
Sorry, I can't see you.
From a talent.
I got to come up. And I watched Meltzer and Brian Alvarez's coverage of it just to pop myself, just to see how honest brokers they're going to be about it. And sure enough, they only told parts of the story that obviously they made Punk look kind of bad, their attempt to make him look bad. But they keep forgetting, like, hello, we all watched the interview too, dude. And I thought it was a great interview. Very good. You could tell Punk's got a lot of respect for him because – he gave him a lot more than I thought he was going to give.
Right. Like when he was asked about Jack Perry and he's like, well, I can't really talk about it. He talked about it for like 15 minutes.
Good. I'm glad he did. The whole world needs to know.
Absolutely.
Another friends of our show, the Busted Open podcast, right? Bully Ray was saying how he had a run in with Jungle Jack Perry as well. And I'm sitting there in my head, I'm like, what? There was a time in our business, dude, where nobody stepped a Bully Ray. I mean, nobody. And so I'm sitting there going, wow, this kid, Jabron, tried to, Punk out. And I was Punk out, Jabron, Bully Ray, a veteran, 3D, like Hall of Famer. What do you, like, come on. So my point is, where there's smoke, there's fire sometimes. Sometimes there's not, right? Sometimes people are lying and exaggerating, and we know that, and telling half-truths about stories or people. But Punk, the way he gave that interview, I believe every word he said.
Yeah, absolutely. So he started talking about his return to WWE. He called it a welcome change. During the interview, he had revealed that he had actually talked with WWE before, even before he was on Backstage. It kind of seemed like he was going to be coming back. He even told the people at Backstage that he might be going back to WWE. Ended up not happening. And he ended up going to AEW. Mm-hmm. And he said his coming back, he kind of credited Nick Khan. He basically said he doesn't know if he would have been back if it weren't for Nick Khan.
Yes, that's easy to understand. Nick Khan is smooth. He is smooth, man. He's been such a game changer for that company. He's the MVP. I know I love Hunter running creative. Hunter's done an amazing job. Okay, night and day from Vince, in my opinion. But if you're talking about all around MVP of that company, how is it not him? How is it not Nick Khan?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And Punk said WWE doesn't feel the same as it did 10 years ago. And that someone told him that they were glad he was back to experience what he helped start when he was first there. And
yes.
Punk said it's friendlier now and more laid back. I'm sure without Vince there, I mean, it's night and day, I think, backstage.
And Punk came in a little bit. It's WWE a little bit after me. If I started in 02 on SmackDown on 03. I forget when Punk came in, but it was after that because he was still doing dark matches when I was there. But he was a part of the same generation I was, where that locker room was very, very different. You had to really mind your P's and Q's. It is more than you mind your P's and Q's. We had bullies that were looking for any reason to screw with the younger talents, rib them, crap like that. That is not part of the business today. So the Roman Reigns is, the Seth Rollins is, all the top stars that have created this locker room. I love hearing it. I'm very, very excited for the guys and gals to be a part of that kind of environment, because that's kind of environment that's going to push each other, but in a very non-jerky, jealousy kind of way, if that makes sense. And we see it with the promos out there, right? They go after each other's throat, but at the same time, they all have one goal and mission, that is the whole team moves this company forward. That's the difference between the locker room I was in versus the locker room we see today. That Punk, I'm very happy he gets to be a part of and see.
Yeah. Because some of the stuff Drew is saying about Punk on Raw is way more brutal than anything anyone said in AEW. But you know there's no backstage conflict.
MJF did get Punk a little bit, though, in that first promo. A little bit with "That's You true. Can't See Me, Man" and "King of Kings."
Right.
I watched it again today because I'm such an MJF mark.
Yeah, MJF's awesome. Stellar Justin Lopez noting that Punk debuted in ECW sometime in August of 2006.
Okay, so there you go. That's how long it took him, dude. They're giving him dark matches and talking ish about him still at that time when I was there.
Yeah. Muhammad Belsine saying, "Happy Tuesday on a Tuesday night, gigantic pop. I hope you guys are doing well, and same with everyone here in the live chat." Our live chat is booming right now. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks,
I know
guys.
It's an off night. I don't think we've ever done a Tuesday night before, so thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
Our good friend Peter Bahi saying, "I love the anticipation for the Punk interview. We didn't get the answers right away at a media scrum. 4 months later, and we finally get the answers."
Good point. He's right. I was very satisfied. I felt like I should just miss eating popcorn. That's it. It was a great interview.
Yeah. And so sorry.
I just want to add one more thing. So again, let's replay what Punk said about Jack Perry, walking over to him. It's like, "Whoa, what are you going to do about it?" Dude, you're 4'0", 100 and nothing. Like, what are you doing? I get CM Punk wasn't the greatest UFC fighter. I get that. But he's still trained to whip your ass. So, like, I don't know where the braveness comes from and the faux big set of you-know-whats on him to do that. I just, in a million years, as a first, second, third-year wrestler, would never, ever disrespect a veteran like that. Especially a veteran that gave me advice on something not to do in a match. And then I go ahead and do it. And then I have the audacity to, like, "What are you going to do about it?" Like, what? So, like, Dave and Brian were on Meltzer, rather, were like making fun of CM Punk, like, "Huh." And he said that he did a good job of not kicking his ass. Like, really? Yes, really. Yes, yes, that's a real thing. Yes, Brian. Yes, Dave. Yes.
Yeah. He choked him instead of beating the piss out of him. He basically, like, restrained him. I get what Punk was trying to say.
So he was being funny about it. Okay, so let's be honest. He didn't really shoot choking. He put him in a front face lock to control the scenario. Okay. Obviously, if you wanted to start kneeing him and punching him and doing that, I'm not saying I think choking somebody is a great idea. Let's be clear. So somebody doesn't take this out of context. But if you watch the interview and how he said it, he was saying it in a joking manner in which he neutralized the situation without being legit physical by throwing punches and kicks and putting him in something and breaking a bone or tearing a muscle on Jack Perry or something like that. And I'm sorry, I still can't get over the audacity in that kid. I can't. Yeah.
And we'll get more into his comments about Jack Perry. I'm kind of going in order with what he said with my notes here. Right, this is kind of crazy that it was just last year when Punk was going back on Collision or getting ready to go back on Collision. Collision was excited. Up. And then he went and visited WWE, and he went to Raw. And he was backstage for a bit, talked to The Miz, had a brief conversation with Triple H. And finally, Vince McMahon kind of kicked him out. And so Punk said the invite came from Bailey, who had DM'd him after Liv Morgan. He was on a flight with Liv Morgan, and he lost his earbuds, and Liv Morgan helped him find them. And so he went backstage and, you know, hung out there for a little bit. And AEW personnel weren't happy. And he said a lot of them actually used the word betrayed regarding that visit.
Okay. So at first I was like, oh, you freaking marks. Stop being marks. Come on, guys. But at the same token, the more I think about it, they paid him a boatload of money to be their star, right? Like, it's supposed to be a big deal that Punk was never coming back to wrestling. And the only company, at least to our eyes at that time, and our ears, was the only company he was willing to come back to was AEW. So that's a major coup for that company. That's their quote-unquote Hulk Hogan at that moment. I throw this out there. Hulk Hogan's hanging out backstage at NWA, and we have the internet back in the day.
Right.
How would that play out, right? So I see both sides of it. At first, I didn't, because I'm always Team Punk all the way through and everything, even if he's wrong. but I'm being honest. But
yeah.
This one, I kind of see. I wouldn't say like traitor or betrayal, but I'd be like, dude, what the? Come on, man! Like, you're our guy. This isn't helping. What are you doing?
Yeah. A quick super chat, J.R. Smith saying, "Thanks, guys, Ian, and I hope everyone is well." Thank you, J.R.
Say hi to Ian. We know Ian's obviously watches it with you and chimes in every once in a while. What's going on, Ian?
So Punk then talked about Vince McMahon. He said he interacted with Vince just once. This is kind of a funny story.
It is a funny story.
WWE headquarters. And he was working out, and Vince came in. And I guess Punk was on the treadmill, and someone told him that, or he was on the phone on the treadmill, and he was actually talking to Nick Khan, and someone went and told him, you know, hey, take off your earphones. Vince doesn't like that.
Vince doesn't like cell phones being used while you're working out. So Meathead Matt over here is one of those as well. Like, if you're on the machine that I want to be on, and you're the person that's like jamming to your music, but you're in between your set and it's like going on 3 minutes. I'm like, come on. All right. But anyways, that reason why that story is so funny is because he was talking to Nick Khan, right, about the comeback. And that's what makes that so funny. I could totally see Ben's, like, having a problem with that because he's such a flipping control freak. I could totally see that. But you'll get into it, so I'll let you continue. Sorry.
So eventually, he saw McMahon. McMahon hugged him, welcomed him home. Welcomed him home. And said that they'd connect again soon, and that was the last time he saw him.
Punk goes in, that's the last time I ever heard from or saw him again. He's so funny. And he got into the Vince component. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah. So on the allegations against Vince, Punk flat out said they're indefensible, they're horrific, and he thought Vince was an idiot for leaving, you know, such a paper trail, and said he felt terrible for the victim, and he hasn't read through the lawsuit, you know, but his biggest concern is for the victims, and he equated it with what happened with Chris Benoit. He noted that he saw Benoit's son before. He was wearing like the punk armbands, and he was, you know, supposed to be Benoit's match that night when he didn't show up. And he noted that he can never wrap his head around what Benoit did. And that's kind of how it is with Vince. You just can't wrap your head around it.
So this is the best by far. I'm not saying this is a punk mark for all you punk haters. I'm going to say, oh, man, you just like everything he says. Which I do, by the way. I'm being honest, right? But for real, this, in my opinion, was the best answered Vince McMahon question, finally. Like, there's no perfect way to answer it, right? There isn't. But if you watch the tonnage, his facial expressions, there's no question. He's not exaggerating when he says he's disgusted by it, etc. Not that it should be very tough to be disgusted with what Vince McMahon did here, folks. Obviously, every single human being with a brain in their head and heart in their chest, all are equally disgusted. It's not, you know, somebody that's more outraged than the next. We all know how piece of ish that type of behavior was. Like evil is all I keep thinking of. Evil, something out of an evil horror movie. But he conveyed that in his thoughts, and he made sense of it. I thought the best I've heard any wrestler or talent or WWE official even try to pontificate with an opinion on what Vince has done here by saying, you know, look, this might be the dude that brought me in. And at one time, you're looking at him as a weird father figure in certain circumstances. And then you see something like this and you're going,
yeah,
how could somebody do this to somebody? And immediately his heart goes out to that victim. I believe every word of that. You see it in his body language is important.
Right.
And just he came across so well answering that. The best of anyone I've heard publicly answer the Vince question.
Yeah, and he gave this line. He said, he ruined his life. He, meaning Vince, of course. He ruined his life, ruining other people's lives. Part of me is like, good, we got him. Now shuffle it into the basement.
Yeah.
Like you said, one of the best responses from a talent I've seen regarding Vince.
Yeah, Cody had a good one originally, but this one was better.
Yeah. I think Punk's was more blunt, I thought. Like, Cody's was more diplomatic, but
right,
good
right.
as well.
Yes.
Punk talked about WrestleMania, said if he never headlines WrestleMania again, it's not a big deal. That's not his his priority anymore. He confirmed that the original plan, he said when he came in that like plans were kind of changing, but at the end, the original plan was for him to take on Seth Rollins. The Royal Rumble match was not changed on the fly when he got injured.
Right.
And so kind of what we knew already. It was supposed to be him and Seth, likely the main event of night one, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, all true. And it was good to hear him come out of his mouth and him, you know, say all that, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Confirm it.
All right. So now we get into the Jack Perry stuff. Punk noted that, you know, like the Wrestling Inc. actually first reported that there was no one to pick up Punk from the airport when he got to London for All In. As many of us remember, the whole incident with Jack Perry was a backstage incident that happened months earlier. There was going to be a spot on Collision where they were going to use real glass and Jack Perry was going to smash up a rental car. Punk told him not to do that. And Perry was going to go on a vacation after that to take a little hiatus. Punk put a stop to that. And that was kind of the end of it. We didn't really hear anything.
Wait, Punk put a stop to his vacation?
No. The using the real glass on Collision.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. at All In, they ended up, Perry ended up having a spot with the car using real glass. And he, you know, before he did the spot, he tapped on the glass and looked at the camera and he goes, real glass, cry me a river. Clearly a shot at Punk.
Can you please do that? But first of all, can you do it justice? Do the quote right. Do it right. Go.
Real glass, cry me a river.
No.
Is that right?
No. Real glass, Crimean River. God, a smug little face.
So these details actually had never gotten out. And so far, I haven't heard anybody contest them. So Punk said what happened that first time backstage at Collision was that Jack Perry was throwing a hissy fit about not being able to use real glass. Like the doctor told him not to do it. And Tony Schiavone ended up going to Punk and saying, you know, look, Perry's not listening. Can you say something?
Yeah.
And so Punk, you know, was taking Collision seriously. Like that was his show. Yeah. And he went to Jack Perry and told him, look, you can do that on Dynamite, but don't do that on my show. You can do that on Wednesdays, but don't do it. And that was it. Perry agreed. And, you know, that was the end of that. Punk said he spoke calmly. And And that was that. So anyways, the All-In incident happens. Punk said he told Tony Khan to handle it. And Punk says, and this is real. Tony goes to Punk, what do you want me to do about it? And nothing happened. And that's when Punk went and, you know, confronted Perry backstage.
But physically, the way he tells it, unless I'm misremembering what he said. That he walked up to Punk and said, do something. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. So what Punk said was he approached Jack and said, why do you have to do this dumb internet shit? And, and then Perry goes, basically said, well, why don't you do, what are you going to do about it? And this was funny. And again, it may not look the best on paper, right? But if you're watching Punk, he's saying this with a smile. Yes. He said, I thought I was doing the responsible thing. I didn't punch him. I just choked someone a little bit.
So again, we are all saying in unison, we don't agree with choking somebody, just because I know how people are here in this world, but in cutting things up out of context. But again, he could have mopped the floor with this kid. Okay, mm-hmm. I know. Come on, Matt. Punk got his ass kicked in UFC. That's UFC, which trained fighters have been doing this for years, that are walking weapons, legit. Okay, come on, guys. It's not a stretch of the imagination to think you can't mop the floor with this kid at any given time. Okay, so that's what I just don't understand. It just hit me now as I said this, Raj. I keep in my head going, how could somebody feel that brazen? That big ball to walk up to a main event talent like that, who tried to give me instruction, you didn't listen to it, still did it your way anyway, and then have the audacity to say, what are you going to do about it? It wasn't computing until just now. It just hit me. Because of the environment Tony Khan has created there, where guys on the lower part of that card feel like they're empowered to be able to talk ish with somebody who's got 20 times the experience that you do, no, you don't. I'm sorry, you don't. Even Brock Lesnar, the world heavyweight champion on SmackDown when I was up there, okay, was only like in the second, maybe third year at most on the main roster as a world champion. Even he would never go up to an Undertaker and say something like that in 1,000 years. Even if Brock can kick everybody's ass in real life on that roster, he would never, ever talk to somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I don't know if it's just different times, different generations, but you know, we've talked about this before, but yeah, it's respecting the veterans.
Okay. In WWE, that's not happening. The lower card guy, or I shouldn't keep saying lower card, the younger talent that's, you know, only been in the business a few years is not, or a couple years. I'm sorry. Only a couple years on television, I should say. Yes, he has any experience. I'm talking about television experience. There's a world of difference between indie experience versus television experience. Yeah. And so, to have that kind of, like I said, to be that brazen and confident to say something like that, it's not because of his fighting skills. It's because he knew he can get away with it. Why did Jack Perry think he can get away with talking ish like that? Because of the environment Tony has created there. Yeah. Like the fact that Sam Punk, your top star, turns you and go, hey, what are you going to do about this? And you don't do anything? Or better yet, say, what do you want me to do? And Punk goes, I don't know, be the boss.
Right.
And he's right. That's what he should have said. I'm just shocked to, you know, part of me hopes that he's exaggerating that and that's not true, because we get on Tony sometimes. I don't want that to be true. I hope that's not true about him, because that company is not going to last if that's the truth. Where you have a leader that's supposed to be leading and stepping in scenarios like that. That's an obvious scenario to step in on, that if you're the leader, you're paying everybody's checks. What you say goes, Tony. Literally anything you say goes. They work for you.
Yeah. And so after that, the altercation with Perry, he let Perry go, and he turned around to Tony Khan and called him a quit. He called Tony Khan.
Clown.
Clown. Getting tongue tied here. He called Tony Khan a clown and said, I quit. And then Samoa Joe came up to him, said, hey, let's go out there. Let's kill it. So he knew that this was going to be the last time he wrestled Samoa Joe. So he did that match with Samoa Joe, knowing it was probably going to be his last match with Joe, and knowing that it was going to be his last match in AEW. And that was the last time he spoke to Tony Khan.
Like he said in the MJF promo, I am a professional. He is. He went out like a pro. He went out on his shield, did a great match with Joe. I loved that match. I loved how they made it a little house showy, which made sense because they were at Wembley, which is the perfect audience for that kind of match. I loved that match, by the way. I did.
Yeah, it was a great match. And, you know, coming out, like, if you go back and watch it now, if you watch it, you can see Punk looking a little myth coming out. But when you're watching it live, you probably wouldn't notice it. And then after that, the rest of the match, you could not tell that anything was wrong. So he did handle the situation like a professional.
No, and the best part is he had Joe do a Hulk Hogan comeback, my favorite part.
yeah, exactly. Peter Bai with $5 super chats. So, you know, Tony Khan famously said when he fired Punk, he said he feared for his life during that altercation backstage that was happening with Perry. Peter Bai is asking, what's your take on Tony Khan's comment about being afraid for his life now that we know what happened backstage?
Blech. That's my reaction, because obviously from day one, guys, I said it the night after on this show here, or whatever it was when we talked about it for the first time on this podcast. That's not true at all. How could you say that? I don't believe you. I don't believe you, Tony Khan. I don't think you were fearful of your life. I think you had to say that to get out of your deal with Punk, maybe, is what I'm assuming. But you're not scared for your life, dude. Like, he wasn't drop kicking like headsets and you sitting at the table or anything like that. Oh, Matt, you weren't there. I don't need to be there to know, like, those that were there that did see this happen. And I'm sorry, he exaggerated greatly. And you and I agree with Punk. Like, dude, you're crapping on my character when you say something like that to the whole nation, to the whole country, or the whole world, actually, on your television show. You, the boss, who wasn't a boss when you needed to be it, when they needed you to be the boss the most. In these stupid scenarios with that brawl out that happened, you could have gotten in there. I'm not saying get in the middle of the fight, Tony. I'm saying the minute that fight happens, the next day, everyone's ass is in that office with you. And you say, guys, you're either game to do business with one another or you're all gone. I don't care who it is. Whoever doesn't agree to do business, and we don't make money off of this and form an angle, there's the door. UPS is hiring. That's what I would have said. And instead, he decides to be the boss and come out and then crap all over Punk's character by saying he was scared for his life. Maybe his attorneys pushed him to doing that. I hope that's what it is, because, again, I want to like Tony. He's giving my friends like jobs and paying them a lot of money. And I would have loved to have that second alternative if I was still actively wrestling. So I'm trying to be as good as I can about this and being fair and balanced. But at the same time, I get fired up. Fired up over some basic, obvious things.
Yeah. And to your point, Punk's next comments were basically saying about Tony Khan, he's not a boss, but a nice guy. And I have heard that a lot.
I've always heard that.
Where people, everyone says that Tony Khan's a nice guy, but maybe, you know, doesn't have that authoritative thing that's needed when situations like this pop up. And, you know, he was talking about Brawl Out, like you were saying. And he said it would have been easier for Tony to fire him. Instead, Punk said that Tony's idea was to create two separate shows. And Punk said he knew from the beginning that it wouldn't work.
Well, why is that where his mind went? If you're Tony Khan, why is that where your mind goes? Hey, we're going to create a whole nother show so we could separate these guys? Again, your company, what you say goes. You say jump, they say how high. Everyone on that roster, from Punk all the way down. And you create another show just so they can keep these two parties apart from one another? No, get their asses in the room, hash it out, or there's the door. They would have hashed it out. Maybe Punk still would have been having kind of certain kind of feelings. Maybe he would have walked. So what? At least you would have got the respect of your locker room and your company, Tony, that you did step in. You did try to make money off of this. And okay, Punk maybe didn't want to do it. Then that's not on you, Tony. That's on Punk. You know what I mean? Yeah. You didn't do that, though. Mm-hmm. And when I say this, I hope everybody knows what we're talking about. I'm talking about the Bucks, Omega, the fight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to Justin Lopez's point, with Brawl Out, Tony failed to take charge, and I lost hope. If he had mediated their beef, Punk versus the Elite would have been booked for TV at least the next 6 months. This proves his lack of seriousness.
I don't think it's lack of seriousness. I think it's a additive of wanting to be liked by everybody. That's what it is.
I think he's just bad at confrontations.
Okay, then hire somebody. Hire your Johnny Ace. Hire your axe, whoever that person is, to be the bad guy at all times.
Yeah. Hire Haku, you know, be the mediator. Ooh. No one's messing with him.
You'll be missing an eye if you try.
before we got some more really interesting stuff. I really want to get your thoughts on this. But real quick, like we said, this is our first time doing a Tuesday night. We're kind of doing this podcast anytime news breaks or there's something interesting. We're going to be doing a bunch in the coming days. We're going to do one after WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2. Hit that bell, hit that subscribe button. This is our best live number actually that we've done yet. And so we really want to thank you. It's our best live number for a night that we don't even normally do the podcast. So we really appreciate it. And if you guys can just take a second, hit like on this episode and hit that subscribe button. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, like you keep saying, the bell, hit the notification, guys, because again, like he says, we don't know when we're going to be on. We go off of what's going on. If something happens like that, we're going to jump on it right away. And there's not going to be any heads up or warning. So we'll post it on our page, but like it'll be like minutes before we jump on, you know, if it's something that's emergency, like that we've been covering all these things. So please like, subscribe, obviously share it too, if you could, please.
Yeah. Bigfoot Sneakerhead with the $4.99 super chat. Thank you as always, BFS. Tony Khan needs to hire someone like Fit Finley. Okay. They need an authority figure.
Okay, can I play my own contrarian to my own argument I just made that he has to hire an Axeman or the bad guy? Mm-hmm. Is it too late because he's created an environment full of talents that have never worked for WWE? So they didn't have that experience of what you're supposed to be doing and giving respect to veterans when they offer advice. God forbid you asking a veteran for advice. Because of Billy Gunn on your roster, are you ribbing me? Oh my God, Billy was my go-to for so many things when I was first coming up. But they have him there right in front of him at all times. He should be picking his brain like crazy. Everybody that's there. But my point is, would they listen? Do you see what I'm saying? Right. I think now Tony's created such an environment there where they feel so like empowered that they don't got to listen to nobody. You heard Hangman Adam Page say, you know, unless I'm taking his comments out of context, the way I read it was, you know, he doesn't need to ask for advice from people. He's been doing pretty good on his own. Oh my God. If I was a veteran in that locker room, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh God. Like my stomach dropped when I saw that. I was like, no, dude, I like to, what are you doing? No, don't be that guy.
Yeah. So we went on to Punk talking about AEW some more and giving his views on the business, which, gosh, I agree. I've been saying for forever, you know, where it's you know, drawing money. And that's the biggest thing over good matches. Now, I'm not saying you should have bad matches, but right. The biggest thing should be getting people interested, you know, getting those characters, those storylines, getting people in the door to care about those matches.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's called learning how to draw money. And you can do both. You can have those very good five-star matches along with having an entertaining character. I believe MJF is an example of it. I think he's the whole kit and caboodle. He puts it all together, the whole package. But Punk, again, I agree with what he's saying there.
Yeah. You know, he said basically was saying AEW is not here to make money. They're not here to draw, which that I disagree with. But he's basically saying that that's not their primary focus. When Helwani asked Punk, well, what is their primary focus? What do you think it is? And he goes, having good matches.
Yep. And then said, I don't know. Go ahead. You're going to say something.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Just that, again, this is a very revealing interview. And I know the Punk hater is going to be out like, oh, sour grapes. And we're going to see some hater volley that will come back from AEW eventually, if not, if it hasn't already happened. I'm surprised they haven't got on, you know, Twitter and start trolling about he's a liar. None of that happened and all this other stuff. But here's one thing I'll tell you about Punk. the dude doesn't care enough to lie. He just doesn't. I'm not saying he's perfect, but look at his body language. He's exhausted. He doesn't give an ish. Not in a like revolutionary way. He doesn't give an ish. In a, I'm old. I don't got time for this stuff. This is so corny. I can't believe I even have to say this. Type of body language when he's saying the stories he was sharing with us in that interview. That's why I believe him. His body language, and again, his tonage.
He talked more about the business aspect and the good matches aspect. He said, if you're some goof saying you had a 5-star match and the building is a quarter full, we're not in the same business.
I'm sorry. I could not stop laughing in this interview. I could not stop. I had to keep rewinding because I kept stepping on my own, on his pop all the time. This was a great line. Great line.
He also did say that he believes AEW will exist as long as Tony keeps putting money into it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe that AEW was the alternative that wrestling needed as a last chance. But he did say several times during the interview that he does wish AEW well. He talked about the MJF feud, and he said MJF's biggest mistake, let me make it clear. He did praise MJF. He does think MJF has all the tools. He just said his biggest mistake is when he caters to the internet audience. And in that interview, you know, he stated WWE's audience is wider than the internet audience.
It is, but like Punk, of all the guys on the roster to say, like, you know, plays towards the internet, like, he's the furthest one. He's in character all the time. Punk, with respect, my brother, you're again one of your biggest marks. Again, I have to preface that because this is something I don't normally disagree with him on things, but on this one I do, because this dude's in character 24/7. MJF, Punk, you're not even in character. You know what I mean? You're not going out to these hockey games and you're not in the CM Punk character. It's a lost art. It's done with, because everybody knows it's entertainment, sports entertainment now. Nobody told MJF that yet, and I love the fact that he does it. I love the fact that he's in character and gimmick 24/7. Big fan of him for it, because it takes a lot of energy to be able to pull something like that off, a lot of thought and a lot of respect for our business. That's why I always love that dude.
Yeah, and I think with MJF, again, he was saying MJF has everything. That was the only flaw he could find with MJF. So it was mostly
good comments.
Yeah, complimentary.
Yeah.
He talked about Hangman Page, which we kind of alluded to earlier. He said that when Hangman Page talked about protecting AEW from Punk, that whole promo that got everything off on the wrong foot, Punk said that him and Page had talked before and had planned out what the promo would be. And he, you know, kind of back and forth what they'd say, not scripted, but just kind of knowing what they would say. And so when Hangman started cutting this promo, Punk couldn't really hear, but he couldn't use what he had been preparing to say because Hangman went off script.
Yeah.
And he said that Page totally changed the promo around, did not do what they discussed. And he said he asked professionally why this happened. And Page said he believed Punk had one of his friends fired. Now, as we know, that's not true. Colt Cabana was still there. Colt Cabana was never fired. Was used again right after Punk left. Maybe that's why he wasn't being used or whatnot, but he was never fired. And so Punk, with a lawyer, went to Tony Khan and asked Tony Khan to take care of this. And, you know, obviously that never happened.
Shocker. Shocker.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot to unpack there. That's a lot everything you just said that Punk said. I went back and watched that promo last night and again today before we did this podcast, just so I could pick up on anything I maybe have missed the first time I saw it. And if you watch Punk, he has his hands behind his back that whole promo. When you see the minute Adam Page goes off script, watch Punk's hands. He goes behind his back, like holding his hands behind his back and making Tony Schiavone do his job and giving the respect to Tony, who's supposed to be the mic man that nobody in AEW ever gives them the credit to do their job. They always take the mic out of his hands and get out of the ring and cut their own promos. Then don't have a stick man in the ring at all, okay? Then don't. There's no need to have one. Just be like WWE with a wrestler comes out to his music, grabs the mic, and just starts talking. There's not somebody that's in the ring that's there to interview them. They just jabron them and grab the mic and start talking. It's disrespectful and it looks lame. So props to Punk for that. But more importantly, listen to his firebacks. He's so quick. He is so quick-witted. Go back to that promo and watch it. When he's like, where's all this hostility coming from? Like, where's this anger coming from? Like, I feel like you're taking this personally. I don't know why. I don't really know you. Like, it was a good promo, very good retort on his part. When he's just getting live rounds thrown on him, and everyone's going to say, well, Punk does it to everybody else. Shouldn't it be fair to be doing? No, not when you rehearse what you're going to say. And again, it wasn't word for word what they rehearsed, but when wrestlers go over promos and they're talents that are given the ability not to be fully scripted, but to give bullet points. Here's your promo, guys. Here's what we need to convey. You've got 6 minutes to do it, including entrances. Okay, no commercials. You've got it. We got to build to this pay-per-view. Go ahead, guys. I trust you guys to do your thing. That's how it works when you trust your talents to cut promos and not give them a script. Okay, so from there, the two talents go in the locker room and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna basically just start off by saying, hey, look, I don't like you. I think you're ugly, blah, 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 blah. And then the other guy goes, well, you know what? I think you're ugly, blah, 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 blah. And now I'm going to say that. And you go back and forth, not word for word, but a certain gist of what each are going to say. And if there is a one-liner in there that's meant to cut and dig deep, you do share it and say, hey, look, I'm going to hit this. I think this will be great if I hit this. It's going to add more gasoline on this. Are you cool with it?
Yep. There you go. yeah. And famously, shortly after that Page promo, Punk beat Page for the title. And then shortly thereafter, he got injured and wasn't back until September for All Out.
Yeah.
And Bigfoot Sneakerhead, regarding this interview, he's saying, I'm surprised Tony Khan didn't take to X and rebut Punk's interview. Guess he's changing a little bit. He just needs to leave Eric Bischoff alone.
No, give it time. Tick tock. I'll believe it when I see it. When a week or two's gone by and Tony doesn't say anything, then I'll buy it and then I'll be proud of him.
And we're going to get into these AEW releases in a bit. Do you think Punk's interview, the fact that it happened the same day, do you think Punk's remarks about Tony not being a boss or questioning that aspect could be related to that in any way? Or is it just pure coincidence?
Oh, so in your head, you're thinking like Tony's at home going, I'm not a boss. They don't think I'm a boss. Oh my God, they don't think I'm a boss. I'll show him I'm a boss. Who's this guy? Cut. Who's this girl? Cut. Who's this guy? Gone. Give it to him. They're fired. They're gone. I need to do something. I got to look like I'm a leader somewhere. No, I don't. I don't. And I will say, and you're going to get into it a little bit later about, I don't know, right now or not, the releases. I do think it's good. Not for the talent. I feel terrible for the talent. I know what it's like to be cut. It sucks. But at the same token, that company needs to do it. They've been needing to do that. While it's great to have this lollipop clubhouse honeycomb hideout gang where everybody gets to be a part of it and everybody gets to have fun and everybody gets to have a job, that's not how it works in real life. It's just not. It's the best of the best, generally the ones that are employed and stay on television. And that's how it works. And sometimes it's not the right fit for certain talents. And maybe they're going to find their footing somewhere else. Those talents, some of them could still try WWE. And who knows what can happen to some of them a year or two from now. We don't know.
Yeah. Christian Prince bringing up that I think it had more to do with the COO that they hired. AEW brought on Kosha Kirby, former WWE executive. He was the regional director of live events for WWE from 2011 to 2017. Brought them on, and he's the new COO of AEW. So
why do they always bring in like a former WWE live event guy? Because like my guy, Raphael Morphy was very good at that job. He was there previously as a live event coordinator for AEW, and then was no longer there. Hopefully this guy's able to do a good job. But again, was he he's COO here. He was not a COO for WWE.
No. This is a much higher position.
Yes, that he has it now. Is. Yeah. It is. So maybe it's the right fit. I hope it's the right fit for that company's sake and for my friend's sake that worked there.
Yeah, like you said, you hate to see people lose their job, but I think very few people are going to argue that AEW's roster is overbloated. And it kind of prevents a lot of talent from getting any screen time that probably should be on there more. So
for the talents that did get cut, if you're watching this, which probably not, but if you are watching this, I promise you this is a blessing in disguise. You're going to get an opportunity somewhere to be who you really want to be. Okay, versus maybe a character that AEW had you playing that you thought was corny, you hated doing it, you didn't think it was really you, or you didn't get much time to begin with. So to be part of a company and not get any television time is a slow death. It is. It absolutely is. I'd rather be with a different company that does have a television deal where I'm able to get a lot of repetitions on television. Make that highlight tape, send it to New York, send it to the WWE, and let them know how much you've improved next year. You know what I mean? That's what I would be doing.
Yeah. So a few more items from the Punk interview. He did talk about Brawl Out. He did say he did sign an NDA. He noted that it wasn't for anything that he did. he said he has nothing to hide, but he can't really talk about much because of the NDA. He regretted the way it was handled, especially the scrum, which he felt was cringe. And
I'm glad to hear him say that. I was glad to hear him say that part.
And he just doesn't like, he thinks wrestling scrums in general are cringe, he said. Mm-hmm. And he did say he did the one when he returned to WWE because he was fitting. But he questioned the merits of wrestling journalists. And
well, he doesn't trust him. I don't blame him. He don't trust him no more, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, no, he made it clear.
They're the ones that created that whole entire story up, the whole narrative, a false narrative, that lie that he got Colt Cabana fired, that lit the fire to start that firecracker.
You know, one of the things I think that kind of hurt AEW badly with this interview was that Punk didn't come across as bitter or angry.
No, he didn't.
And by not doing that, he just came across as honest. And by coming across as honest, it just came across like AEW was really minor leagues, and no one's saying they're on the same level as WWE. WWE's been here forever.
Of course,
they're the NFL of pro wrestling.
Right.
But he made them seem like they're not just even as a company, as a startup.
That they're even further away than we thought.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that was kind of the most hurting thing for AEW.
My opinion, the most hurtful thing was how his injury went down and how they did not they did not talk to him for 6 months. Nobody contacted him from AEW after he gets hurt after that whole brawl out. 6 months after the fact. Okay. So like here he is, he's injured, gets his tricep surgery done. He had to find the surgeon to do it on his own. Then on his own, he had to find the PT person to do the rehab coming back. What? That's how you treat your $1 million investment, Tony? Like seriously, what? I mean, unless there's something that I'm not understanding in this story, and maybe the attorneys told Tony, you cannot talk to this guy because of these lawsuits that are potentially happening. Maybe that's why. If that's the case, I don't care, Tony. Somebody else talk to him. I don't care if it's a janitor. Have somebody representative of AEW call that guy. How'd the surgery go? You doing okay? Okay, here's who we think you should use for PT. You know, thank God for Doc Samson, who was, again, WWE true and through. That's where he comes from. So, because he's a professional at what he does, he did follow up and see if everything's okay with Punk. But again, nobody in leadership did. And that should all be operated and done by the company. That's not spoiled that WWE does that for its talents. That's how every major league sports organization works. The company, you actually get into arguments sometimes with the company on what surgeon they want you to see. Versus the one that I know might be better, you have to go with what they say sometimes. You got to listen to them. And that's the environment I come from. And so I was shocked to hear that they didn't give. That was, to me, the most shocking part of what he said negatively about AEW, in my opinion, honestly.
And even more shocking, and you read my mind because I was just about to get to that and start talking about it. But he said after Brawl Out for 6 months that no one talked to him. And that he paid for his surgeries himself.
And he found the surgeon.
He found the surgeon. He had to take care of everything. He had no help from AEW during that time. Now, it's one thing if he was released, fired, of course, then, whatever.
You're on your own.
They should still pay for it because it happened during the match with Moxley.
Yeah, technically.
it's believed to have happened during the match with Moxley. And if it did, they should have definitely paid. But
yes,
regardless, he's still under contract with them. He wasn't fired, you know, and he's your top star. It just yes. seems like between that and not picking him up at the airport, it's like, this is your top star.
What is going on? Like, that's what I mean. Again, the buck always stops with the leader. And everybody bags on Tony. Probably sounds like I am, and we do sometimes. But it's like, something needs to happen here. Whether Tony hires somebody to be that front man and be that quote-unquote leader, then so be it. But somebody needs to do this and be this entity because Tony's not doing it.
Mm-hmm. He said with Collision, you know, he didn't think it would work in AEW, didn't think the separate shows would work, but, you know, he did what he could to try, and he kind of made Collision his show. And so you did hear these reports of him not wanting certain people backstage and things like that, and that's pretty much why Punk wanted that to be, you know, basically his responsibility and build that okay. brand as much as he could.
Okay, so there's a second thing here I didn't like. Okay, so when you're a top star, what you say usually goes, this is how wrestling has always worked for decades. You're the straw that stirs the drink, right? So therefore, you're supposed to be able to have, like Hulk Hogan always got to do whatever the hell he wanted, and all this Stone Cold, everybody gets to, you know, call their shot because they're the draw, right? That's how it works. With that said, though, I didn't think that was in good taste to be able to want his own show where nobody else can come, and it does look doesn't look good. In my opinion, it would have looked better. He's like, I don't know why we're doing a separate show, Tony. I'm cool with working with anybody, even though I might want to tear their faces off in real life. I'm a professional, and I can work with anybody you put me in front of. And I'll put up with these child hijinks as long as I can. But Tony, I'm warning you, if you don't step in and do something about it next time this happens, you're not going to like how I handle it. And something along those lines. I just didn't like that because it creates tribalism by saying, hey, this is my show. Yeah, we only want certain talents here, like FTR and these guys and these gals. And you guys could do all your high spot stuff over on your dumb show. Like, when you do that, it does create palace intrigue, right? It definitely does that. But because we know AEW and we know how they think, they would never get the two to work against each other and make money out of that scenario. That's what the whole thing should have been about.
Right. Yep. No, I do agree with you. That I could see that rubbing people the wrong way for sure.
Yeah.
Now, kind of closing the door on his conversation, you know, his comments about AEW, he said, basically, he with his run with AEW, he doesn't regret it. And he said that the positives outweigh the negatives. He said he made a lot of friends. He got to do cool stuff like working with Sting, including doing stuff with Sting at the Greensboro Coliseum. So he talked about his stuff with MJF and said it was head and shoulders above the rest.
It was. It's still to this day. If you guys go back and watch that, I've seen this highlight video, like this YouTube channel, I forget the name of it, that shows the entire storyline of the MJF versus CM Punk feud. It was so good. It really was so good. Better than what you remember, even, I'll argue. Go back and watch it again. All those promos leading up to it were freaking magical. The matches were awesome. The MJF, will you be my Valentine, was awesome, that promo. The dog car match was great. MJF calling himself the devil, you know what I mean? Devil's greatest trick. You know, he's so good. That whole storyline was awesome, and I still think it's underrated as hell.
Yeah, it was a great storyline. And one of the – I mean, I like pretty much all the storylines Punk was involved with, but that was definitely the best.
Yes, yes.
And real quick, guys, we are well over 1,000 live viewers. We're close to 1,100, by far our best live numbers yet. Really appreciate it. Thank you again. And if you haven't already, one more time, just please take a second and smash that like button, or is it smash the subscribe button and hit the like button, whatever it is. Just please take a second and do it. We really appreciate it. You can tell I'm almost 50.
20. I was just going to say, same here. I'm on the same boat. But I was about to say, hashtag 2015 wants its promo back. Mr. Beast from 2016 wants his promo back.
Yeah, yeah. wish I could take that one back. All right. He did. One more thing. He did talk about Colt Cabana. He did say Colt Cabana after, you know, did approach him before the All Out scrum and tried to talk to Punk, and Punk told him that he would not respond to him without a lawyer present. So that's not going to get smoothed over anytime soon.
Oh God, how uncomfortable must that have been? Oh my God. A poor guy probably want to crawl in a hole. I like him though. I know him in real life and I think he's funny as hell. That's a shame. I'm sorry. I'll always think that's a shame that those two ain't boys no more. That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And that was kind of it. I mean, he talked about his coming back. He said he's probably going to be like half the time, which sounds crazy because that would be like 4 to 5 months, which would be, you know, in the next couple of months. He did hint at some PLEs this summer that haven't been announced yet. And since then, WWE announced Clash at the Castle on Saturday, June 15th at the OVO Hydro in Glasgow.
Nothing gets by Raj. I thought I was going to be the one to break that on there, but I wasn't.
Saturday, June 15th. So Clash at the Castle is back. So, yeah, if he does come back to that, that would be very soon.
It would. Don't, brother. You saw how over you still are without being on television every week. Crowd was going bonkers. This past Monday Night Raw, during the beating of Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, when they were on the babyface or on the cell getting whipped by those weightlifting belts, who were they chanting for? They weren't chanting Yeet. They weren't chanting No Yeet. They weren't chanting Cody. They weren't chanting Seth. They were chanting CM Punk. Go back and watch it again. They wanted Punk to make the save. So the fact, dude, Punk, you don't have to be on television to be over with these folks. So I know you want to come back. I would chill. And make sure you come back as solid as you possibly can. And again, I do think Punk has never looked this muscular, like big. I've never ever thought I'd use those words to describe Punk's physique, but he is. He's as biggest I've ever seen him be. And I just don't know if his body is built to hold that 215 pounds of muscle. I don't know if it's built to carry that at that age. I almost think and this sounds so contradictory to just general health, but it almost feels like he'd be better with skinny fat as far as being able to work in the ring at the style he likes to work. Because just taking a flat face bump from that, you know, Future Shock, that's all that is. That's a face bump. To tear your tricep doing that means your muscles are super tight. I mean, I'm no doctor, but I am a bodybuilder and I know the muscles upside down, inside out. And I know like when people are tearing muscles like Batista did on a frigging treadmill, he was coming back from a different muscle tear. He's doing cardio and tore a tricep on the frigging, what do you call it? Not exercise bike, but the treadmill, like jogging. So if you're doing this, you tear a tricep, folks, there's red flags going off. That holy shit, why is his tricep so tight? Why is his muscle so unsaturated and not having enough water in it?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So with Punk, definitely not saying that because they have the toughest tests there are, obviously WWE's drug policy. But what I'm saying is I don't think his body's frame is used to carrying that kind of size, that kind of mass, and work the way he works. I think he'd be better to be a little bit lighter. Even though, like, majority of his career is like, why does this guy just hit the weight room? He'd have the whole package. He just had, like, a good physique on him. Well, now the poor guy comes, does all this hard work, comes back looking like $1 million, physically better than he's ever looked muscularly wise, and he gets hurt, and he keeps getting hurt. So I do think he's carrying too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could see that he is carrying more muscle. So, you know, Cody was doing that, too, when he first came back.
Yes.
Got that injury. And now he's more...
He's toned more, a little bit back. Lean.
Yeah.
A little bit back where, he went down a little bit.
Yeah. Big time Baxter asking about the Scotland pay-per-view. Drew staying that now. So this is an interesting thing. Drew is prominently featured on the poster. He is the main focus on that poster. Obviously, he's from Scotland. That's the smart move. But his contract is reportedly up like this week, at the end of the week.
I think I do think he's resigned.
They've got to have some sort of agreement because if they lost him now when he is at his hottest, that would be a blow. You know,
it would.
I know them getting Okada and Will Ospreay and these guys over WWE, that was a nice coup by Tony, but this would be a blow.
Okay, it would, because he wouldn't be on WWE program anymore as one of their hottest acts. Mm-hmm. I still would argue AEW would not know what to do with him.
And that is
they would not know what to do. They would not know what to do with him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. So, that was the Punk interview. Huge week, obviously, coming up. It was revealed on Raw last night that Roman Reigns will be inducting Paul Heyman into the WWE Hall of Fame. So that's pretty cool.
It is.
And we also got the match order. Real quick, let's go about the AEW releases that we mentioned earlier.
Also, I want to talk about what happened on SmackDown and Raw real quick with Rock.
Sure. Yeah. Let's do the AEW releases and then go to Raw and finish with WrestleMania.
All right, go real quick.
All right. So AEW, they released 10 names. This was the first time they've ever done like a mass releases. These were all cuts. These weren't people whose contract expired. Mm-hmm. Anthony Henry, The Boys, who were with Dalton Castle, Stu Grayson, famously with the Dark Order, Gravity, Dasha Fuentes, Slim J, Parker Bordeaux, Jose the Assistant, and Jorah Jahl.
Don't know the last one.
A lot of names that weren't really being used that much.
And again, like I said earlier, guys and gals, this, you ever heard a saying, when one door closes, another opens? That really is the truth in pro wrestling. I swear to Christ on it. Make the most of this opportunity, though. If you weren't being used on television, no offense, you shouldn't want to be there anyway. Like, you don't want to be the one that's just coming and catering every single week and never getting on television ever. You don't want that. That's a slow death. And it's going to slow your progress as well, especially younger talents. You need to be in the ring wrestling every single weekend, whether that's in front of 20 people, whether it's in front of 5,000, whether it's in 60,000. You have to be in the ring every week in order to continue to improve if you're newer in this business. And also, you got to try different things out for your character. How are you supposed to develop your character if you're not getting repetitions to try them on audiences? With no house shows, essentially, nowadays, it's even harder for you to do that. That's why you really need to find a show, whether it's Impact, maybe it is some of these other companies, maybe it's in Japan, I don't know, but get something out there you could put on tape, I'm so old, something you can put on film, though, right, and share it all over social media about maybe a new character you're trying out. You know, this is your time to swing for the fences and do you. This is a good thing, I promise you guys. You're gonna have other opportunities to make that money, but more importantly, find who you really are. Once you find out who you really are and what you're comfortable doing with those in between the moves scenarios when you're in the ring, which is when a character is made, it's not through their moves. It's the in between the move stuff, what you're doing in that ring with your body language, your facial expressions, all that stuff, your promos. Now's your chance to work on all that and find who each and every one of you are and come back and make 10 times more money and make him regret the day he ever released you. Shove it where the sun don't shine is what I'm saying.
Yeah, just being under contract, yes, you are getting a paycheck, but not being used, you're not evolving as a performer, you're not going anywhere. So this does give you that opportunity to work on yourself, to branch out and become a character. So absolutely.
When I was released from WWE, I was irate. Here I take Vince's word, he gives me this stupid stuttering character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I graduated like some of my class with a public speaking degree and communicate. Like, was he know any of this, Johnny? And why would he make a stutter? That makes no sense. But he's my boss. I'm going to shut up and listen to him again. He says, jump. My job is to say how high. And so when I got released, though, I made sure that wherever I was going, I'm going to make more money. And two, I'm going to make them regret doing that. And I got that. I got that call about a year after my initial release, when I already decided that I was going to be staying with New Japan at that time. And then when I went to TNA, they tried to sign me again. Nope, staying with TNA. They're going to give me an opportunity to be the blueprint character. And then finally, yes, I was going to come back to WWE in 2014. I was coming back on my terms, which is awesome. They were going to finally let me be the blueprint. But my point is, that was over a 7-year span. I had built up equity of this, blueprint character and who I really am versus playing a stuttering character that's not really who I am. Or Brock Lesnar's heavy. Brock doesn't need a heavy. Hello, it's Brock Lesnar. things like that. So again, guys and gals, again, make them regret the day they released you.
Talking about Raw last night, the first hour was commercial free. I would think that the show is going to do a good rating, but it was against that Hawkeyes game. Caitlin Clark. And that game did NFL numbers. It did 12.3 million viewers. We don't have the raw rating yet, but that game did 12.3 million viewers. Such a good name. That's just insane numbers.
LSU kept it close too, which was scary, because they beat Iowa last year. They sent her packing. So this was cool to see the redemption and her come back and put it on LSU major way. But I was going back and forth between that and Raw. And then I eventually fell asleep. I'm so sorry, Raw.
We weren't going to do this podcast last time.
Sorry. But... my fault. Old man. So, but real quick, it was awesome. I watched it this morning. I was so angry. I didn't see it live. Great selling on the babyfaces part. Seth and Cody did a great job here. I like Seth's promo. I thought he did a good job of making making Rock look like a punk a little bit by calling him out, by saying, who wants to see Seth Rollins versus The Rock? And, of course, everyone naturally is going to be like, yeah. And Rock had to pull the carpet out from underneath all the fans. Like, nope. It ain't me. That was good because it got Rock heat, which was good.
Yeah.
The whole thing was great.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just checking on one thing. What were your thoughts on that opening promo? Because it was about the commercial-free first hour. The first, 40 minutes was The Rock, Roman Reigns promo. And 10 minutes of that was The Rock just coming to the ring, the crowd going crazy. I thought it was awesome. And it was legitimately – think about, Raw has been on the air for 30 years. And this was legitimately the biggest gate they've ever had for a Raw in history, a domestic Raw in history.
I was shocked at that. I really was. I know they're red hot right now, but good Lord, that really says something. Think about that, guys. Folks at home, think about all those Austin 316 shirts. Think about people just wanting to come see Steve Austin on his ascent, right? Like, it was crazy town, USA, trying to get a ticket for Raw back in the day. But to see that they broke the all-time record, that's impressive as hell.
Yeah. And I just checked, this is correct. Big Time Baxter noting that Raw did 1.783 million viewers, according to Sports TV Ratings, who replied to a fan. And yeah, Hour One did almost 2 million viewers. I believe that's I'll have to double check, but it's one of the biggest hours probably years. Hour Two did 1.76 million, and Hour Three did 1.64.
You know what's crazy to me? That these are good numbers today, by the way. Like, that's crazy to me. This is crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the number one platform is no longer like NBC or CBS. It's right. YouTube and TikTok. Right. You know? So it's wild. Sridip Sengupta with the 200 rupee super chat. Thank you, Sridip. Hi from India. I know it is Punk's side and it is going to show him right, but do you think if there was no truth in it, then TK would not shy away from Twitter like he does every time there is anything?
So that's a good question. Somebody asked something similar earlier or said something earlier, like they were surprised Tony's not on Twitter, you know, trying to condemn it or tear it down. I say give it time, Sridip, give it time, my friend, because I'll give it 48 hours to 72 hours before Tony, you know, Khan just can excessively give me my phone. And get on Twitter and try to shoot it down and, you know, fire back. But let's see if he doesn't. I hope he doesn't, because it's just going to make it worse. It's going to draw more eyeballs that maybe didn't see that interview from the AEW fan point perspective. Maybe it'll draw eyeballs to seeing that interview and they're going to see all the other things he said about AEW. I wouldn't, Tony. I'd let it go. Let dead dogs lie.
Yeah. Do you think he just avoids interviews for a while now, or does he do the usual, oh, I can't talk about that, or I'm not
go back to our earlier episodes, whatever we said, Raj, he should not be doing the interviews to begin with. He's not the person that's supposed to draw fans to the arena to pay their hard-earned money for a ticket to see wrestlers. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's the boss of the so-called leader of these wrestlers. Yes. But he should not, you know, you never saw Vince McMahon doing more interviews than his top stars going into Mania season. No way. Right. Hulk Hogan was all over that place. Stone Cold all over the place. The Rock all over the place. Vince, doing a couple things here with Bob Costas or like weird interviews like that, sure. But not more than what the talents were doing. He has talents that could cut good promos. He has talents that know how to play their part and be in an interview and do a good job. He needs to utilize them.
Mm-hmm. Scotty Sailor with the $4.99 super chat asking, where is big time Rubenstein tonight? And does Goldust show up at Mania Night 2 to fight Bloodline? So Rubenstein, it's NXT night. You think he's in NXT mode tonight, but it'll be the three of us this weekend. Both nights of WrestleMania right after. Stay tuned. Again, like, subscribe. You'll get the notification right away. We're going to go live right after both nights of WrestleMania and after NXT Stand and Deliver. NXT Stand and Deliver, we'll discuss that. And we'll also anything big from the Hall of Fame, SmackDown the night before, and any other news heading into WrestleMania. So definitely check it out.
More importantly, I will never in a thousand years subscribe to this big time Rubenstein. Don't try to get that over, Scotty. It will not fly here.
BTR. I like
miss
it.
Him.
Terry Allen Jr. with the $5.08 super chat. I was born with Asperger's embrace, my rebel nature. What is the plan to celebrate being different for Autism Awareness Month for your son? Thanks.
Great question. I'm so happy you asked that. You give me a chance to promote something my wife and I created here in the city of Longwood. It's last year we had our first. This year will be our second annual City of Longwood Walk for Autism Awareness and Inclusion on April 27th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Reiter Park in Longwood, R-E-I-T-E-R Park. We have it's a completely free event, and it's an event that, as an autism family, I can speak from experience that there's so many services here in this community for my son that we know he needs, but there's so many others out there that maybe we're not aware of. It's not just my family, it's every autism family. We keep learning more about the bevy of services that could be out there. So because there's so many families that I'm friends with that are also neurodiverse families, that still don't know there's always other services out there. Larissa, my wife, and I created this event in the city of Longwood. It's a completely free event. Every year I go out and I fundraise for this event specifically, so no tax dollars get spent on it. Our small businesses chip in and want to be a part of it because it's an important event. And the theme is, yes, it's a walk where we walk around the park in unison and a show of solidarity between neurotypical and neurodiverse peeps. All of us combined as one. But at the same time, in my opinion, the most important part is exposing these different services we have in our community in the form of vendor booths. So to be a vendor at this event, we're going to have over 50 this year. You have to provide a service in the space of autism. You have to. Otherwise, you're not going to be a part of this event. Because again, it's free. We're letting you do it for free and promote your business, not just to promote your business, but because these families need to learn about the other services that are out there that they might not have heard of yet. The other part of this is we all know when kids that are autistic, once they hit 18, they fall off this damn cliff of services available to our neurodiverse kiddos that are now young adults at 18. So because of that, we're going to have also a huge bevy of different service providers that hire specifically autistic kids, those that are on the ASD spectrum, those that are neurodiverse. And I'm really excited about that. Those that will not just hire them, but train them and teach them a skill set that they're going to be able to use in the form of a trade or working at a store, something that they're going to be proud of so they can contribute to society. It's a very big deal. And last year was the first, not just in the city of Longwood, it was the first in all of Seminole County. I was shocked at that. And I'm very proud of that now, knowing that this will be our second one in Seminole County history, let alone the city of Strongwood. Get it right, Longwood.
Very cool. That's awesome.
I'm very stoked. Oh, God. Me and my wife did an interview for it today, and I started tearing up. Just, they brought me back to the day that my kid was born, right? And then, you know, three short years later, he was diagnosed as being moderate to severe on the ASD spectrum as nonverbal autistic. And if you always follow me on Twitter or Facebook especially, I post his triumphs. Oh, my God. Like, yeah. I feel like I cry every day. I feel like I cry every day with this kid. Like I'm a big wimp just because he does something legit, Raj. I'm not BSing this because he's my kid. I really mean this. He does something every day where I'm looking at Larissa going, see what he did? Because the doctor said 99.9% chance he'll never say one word. He'll never talk. And while, okay, he's not talking, he's not saying sentences, he can say hi, he can say bye. If you really want something, he'll communicate with you the way Jackson communicates. Just because he can't talk don't mean he's weird, don't mean he's different. And that goes for any neurodiverse person out there that's watching this right now. Just because we learn differently or communicate differently, that don't mean any of us are weird or different because of it. And what I like is society's finally starting to kind of catch up. And events like this, I think, will help neurotypicals understand it better.
Yeah, that's amazing. So definitely check that out. That sounds amazing. And I always love watching the progress with your son and everything on X and Instagram. So it's really cool. So
thank you. Very proud of him.
I don't know how to segue to this.
No, go right into it.
So finally we got, was there anything else from Raw that captured your eye? There was one thing I wanted to bring up, and that was Ricochet doing a fallaway slam to Ivar.
I missed that. I didn't see it.
Oh man, you got to watch it. That match was awesome. It was really good. I'm just shocked that they've been doing this stuff with Ricochet every week, and he has no real plan at WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's that pack though. It's that stacked.
Yeah, there was this part of the match where Ivar went to splash Ricochet in the corner, and Ricochet caught him in a slam, and then did a fallaway slam on Ivar, which just an insane visual.
Was it a fall away where he does a backflip and lands on Ivar in a pinning predicament?
No, it was the Razor Ramon.
Normal fall away slam? Okay.
Yeah.
I used to call that, that was one of my moves I used in my sweet arsenal of seven moves. And yeah, I would just say sack of shit, SOS, while I'm calling it in the ring. SOS, like duck one.
Because that's what they are. SOS. Yeah.
Sack of shit, yeah.
Nice. All right, so we got the match order for WrestleMania night one and night two as of right now, and what's on each night. So night one's going to open with Rhea Ripley defending against Becky Lynch. Yeah, and then going on to the six-pack ladder match, Judgment Day, DIY, New Day, Awesome Truth, New Catch Republic, and A Town Down.
There'll be some cool high spot somewhere where somebody almost dies. Great.
Yeah. Then Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio.
Okay, because Dom's in it, I'm interested. That's it.
Yeah. You think Bad Bunny will be involved again this year? Gotta wonder.
It'll help, but I don't care if he is or not. Okay.
Then Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso.
Good. That's gonna be good. That's gonna be really good.
Yeah. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi versus Damage Control.
High expectations of this one. Huge expectations here.
Yeah. Gunther against Sami Zayn.
Going to be a great match. Underrated match of the night, potentially.
Yeah. And then the main event, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
It's going to be awesome.
And for those of you... I'm sorry. You broke up there for a second, Matt.
There's nothing really to add to that tag match. Everyone knows it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And we did a podcast on... Yeah, no, I can hear you fine now. And for those of you, we did a podcast on Sunday where we gave all our predictions for all these matches, our WrestleMania preview episode. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out on this YouTube channel or on the podcast version, the audio only, which you could subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcasts. So that's night one. Before we get to night two, get a couple more of these super chats. Jay Hudson with a $10 super chat saying, what do you make of the CM Punk comments that AEW isn't in the business of making money and calling Tony Khan a money mark? What is the difference between Triple H versus Tony Khan? And Punk also made the point that he feels like guaranteed contracts ruined wrestling.
Yes.
Well, because they're not fighting for the house.
You're absolutely, he's right. But at the same token, I mean, I fed my family off that guaranteed contract. I was able to buy a home and our vehicles with those guaranteed contracts. So I can't complain now and be a hypocrite. Right. But again, I wasn't the one that's drawing the house like he is. So maybe he's got a different, you know, viewpoint, because he is the one that puts asses every 8 inches. If you, Jay Hudson, you go back in the beginning of this podcast, you'll see, I literally answer that question like almost verbatim, except I do not compare him to Triple H because there is no comparison. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful to Tony. I'm just saying Triple H is the, you can always tell he's a leader. He's an authoritative position. And knows when to step in and be a leader. And so far, Tony, from what we're hearing publicly, at least from Punk in this interview, it's not looking that way. Maybe there's other instances where he is, and maybe we just don't know. And to be fair, we shouldn't know. It should stay backstage. I don't like when everything gets, all palace intrigue gets completely revealed to the public. I usually don't like that.
Yeah, and to be fair, Tony Khan is kind of doing the jobs of Triple H and Nick Khan, you know.
Yes. AEW. No, not kind of. He is. Yes, he is.
Yeah. And Nick Khan, I mean, he's a beast when it comes to making money. I mean, he's all about it. And you're seeing it now. And these sponsors, I mean, we'll see how that Prime bottle looks on the mat at WrestleMania. But
matter. Yeah, making exactly. That. He's making that chatter.
It's going to be the most financially successful WrestleMania of all time. This is going to be the most financially successful year. So yep. Nick Khan knows what he's doing. Scotty Sailor with the $4.99 super chat. BTR is over. So we got to let him know. Does Boder Punk interfere in Seth Drew allowing Priest to cash in? Love you guys. Ooh.
Does Boder? What does Boder mean?
He means CM Punk, but I don't know, maybe a weird typo, but
okay.
A CM Punk interfere at that match, allowing Priest to catch it. That would be a good way to do it. Punk lays them both out, and then Priest music hits.
I did want to see Punk eventually win this championship belt, whether it's from Drew or whether it's from Seth, I don't care. But that's months off in the distance, so maybe they do it this way, because Damian Priest does have that briefcase. I do keep forgetting that.
Yeah,
I just don't think. I'm sorry though. You got to give it to Drew though. Drew's got to have a little bit of a run with this title because he deserved it. He's earned it. You can argue so is Damian Priest, but Damian Priest is not on the same level right now as Drew McIntyre, respectfully.
Yeah. All right. If Drew resigns, and you've got to think he's going to, but
of course he
until,
is.
Until he has
putting it out there that he's not. He is going to sign.
All right. Night two, WrestleMania. It's actually going to open with Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre.
That makes sense. I would want that match if I was a champion. And it's Roman and Cody that I know everyone's wanting to see. Yeah, I would. If I'm in Seth's shoes, I want that first match.
But do you think if they're doing a title change, they have it on first?
Yes, because they're doing a title change later that night in the main event anyway.
And they've done it before. Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar in the opener at WrestleMania years ago. Philadelphia Street Fight. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against Final Testament, Karrion Kross and Authors of Pain.
Got friends in this match, and I got to be honest, I'm not drawn to it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't care, but...
Happy a couple of my guys are going to get a nice payday out of it. That's about it.
Yeah. And then we got LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
Oh yeah. Sign me up on this one. Yes, definitely. I cannot wait for this match. Yes.
Yeah. Triple threat. Logan Paul defending against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens.
I think this is going to be underrated too. I think this has the potential to be another really great Mania match.
Yeah. Then Io Sky against Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship.
Yeah. Bayley's going to win this match. We all think that. It could be a good match, but the storyline is better than what the match, in my opinion, could be. The match could be great for all I care. The storyline behind the match, though, is so damn good. So fascinating and entertaining. I love what they've done with the layers to this particular storyline.
Yeah. And finally, the main event, undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns defending against Cody Rhodes. So six matches on night two, seven on night one, and The Rock is on night one. So you got to think... There's going to be a lot of stuff on night two. And obviously The Rock, you'll see him on night two somewhere.
You will.
Most likely the main event. So solid card. Just looking at that, what night do you think stands out more?
There's a couple matches in there I'm surprised are in there. And I'm not going to say which. I don't want to be disrespectful. But there are a couple matches in there. Because I didn't hear you say the Gunther match. Oh, yeah, you did. Yes, you did. You did say that. So you have some really good matches like Gunther Sammy and some of the main event matches, the draw matches, obviously. But then you have some mid-card matches that are in there that I know, well, Matt, we have to have mid-card matches in there, obviously. Okay, but you have a lot of stars that are not in Mania that should have Mania matches, and if they should have maybe higher profile Mania matches. Like, we could have done more of Bobby Lashley here.
Yeah. And both nights have two-hour kickoff shows with no matches announced for either. And the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is going to be on SmackDown. So
which there it major, is. You have made Raj has major heat with that, by the way, folks.
I do. I'm not happy. I don't get why they don't just put it on the kickoff show.
They should. Do we know what's going to be on the kickoff show yet?
There's nothing. It's just them talking. As of right now, it's just them talking for 2 hours. CM Punk's going to be on both nights, Big E, but...
Good. I like that combo. Will they both be on at the same time?
I'm forgetting right now.
But I hope so, because they're a good combo, those two together.
They are. They did that WrestleMania kickoff show, and they were really good.
They were really good.
So, well, awesome, guys. We best numbers ever. We really appreciate it. Like and subscribe, and we're going to be here all weekend. So keep definitely subscribe and keep checking us out.
How many viewers do we have? A lot of viewers.
Over 1,200 now. Yeah.
All right. So because with so many here, I don't want to just run away from you guys and leave you. If it's cool with you, Roz, can we also quickly talk about Friday Night SmackDown? Because I never got a chance to talk about that with you guys.
Yeah, sure.
Last Friday night, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, where Rock beat the bejesus out of Cody Rhodes.
That was on Raw.
One-on-one. No, not including Seth Rollins in the ring. But okay. He did it with Cody's tour bus. It was on SmackDown. Wasn't that?
That was on Raw last week.
It was Raw last week?
Yeah.
Did we cover it?
And look who's doing a run-in.
How is this still happening?
You're only joining because we're doing our all-time greatest. You had to come in and try to steal our heat.
I wasn't even watching. I just finished that other thing talking about the NXT.
So, Big Time Rubenstein.
Yeah, that's your new name.
BTR.
That's it. You've been anointed. So,
we're about to finish, Glenn. But question: Did we cover Rock beating up Cody with the tour bus or no?
We talked about last that. Week. No, I guess last week you guys would have talked about that.
Yeah. So I was making fun of Cody's dog being on the side of the bus.
Right. You did make fun of that. Yeah.
Okay. Then we talked about it. Okay. Good.
Yeah. It all blends together after a while.
It does. Yeah.
We were saying how we're going to be all over on this channel this weekend. So
you know,
subscribe, like, and maybe even Monday. We'll see how everything goes and if we've got the stamina for it on Monday after Raw.
After two podcasts on Saturday, one Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a busy one, but I'm looking forward to it. WrestleMania week. It's Christmas for wrestling fans. So it'll be awesome. Great.
Can I ask the questions in the chat room?
Absolutely.
See if they'll answer. Chat room, what are your plans for WrestleMania? How do you view it? Are you watching it at home? More importantly, what food are you guys going to be getting? Do you order pizza? Do you go to a Hooters and watch it? Do you go to your friends and 12 of you guys watch it? So where do you guys go see it? And what food do you guys have when you watch it?
Matt, what do you eat? Do you do a free day? On WrestleMania?
Oh my God, absolutely. I have two cheat days a week. And I'm using them both on Mania weekend. Yes. So they're both going to be pizzas for me. Pepperoni, large pizzas. I eat by myself.
For me, it's Indian food delivery, man. This one Indian restaurant, the spicy chicken curry. I get it extra spicy. Some garlic naan and some chili chicken. It's good stuff.
What are you dipping in?
So like the curry with the chicken curry, you just dip it in there. And it's so good.
Mm. Nice.
And my family's gone this weekend with a dance competition. Mm. So I get to get extra spicy because I'm the only one that can handle it. So it's going to be good.
Glenn?
Well, I'm like recovering still. I was traveling last week. I was at Disneyland. Then I was in LA. Mm. So last week I had kind of a cheat week. So I'm just now back on kale, cauliflower, beans, greens, you know, but I'll do something a little like a mini cheat, maybe some cauliflower wings breaded on Saturday or something.
So since I was like, again, 6 years old, I always associated pizza and Tostitos with salsa for some reason with WrestleMania.
Tostitos.
Yeah.
There's something about that too. And like, you know this because you can get really high quality, like authentic Mexican food in the best salsa now. But there is something about, for me, it's Pace. There's something about Pace Picante sauce with the green lid. It just takes me back to being a kid.
So for me, it's the is that the hot one? Because the hot Pace Picante sauce is
that's red. What I love. Hot's red, medium is yellow, green is mild.
So when I first started Wrestling Inc., this was back in like 97. And in one of my posts, I remember mentioning that I was a big fan of Pace Picante sauce. And a fan of the site sent me this gigantic case of Pace. It was like 24 bottles. It was the first time anyone had ever sent me anything on the site.
Yeah.
Remember that's it cool. to this day. It was awesome.
It's awesome.
Some of these Pace responses, Sue Haynes saying chicken taters and onion rings.
There we go. Good choices. Good choices.
Those are good choices. Nice. Ab saying Friends, lamb shawarma, and kebabs.
Ooh, you guys got good eclectic tastes. Much better than me.
Miss WWE Girl 2 is going healthy, saying, watching WrestleMania 40 at home and making a healthy dinner.
There we go. At least one of us are responsible. Good job, Miss WWE Girl 2.
And Francesco's with you. Very excited. Pizza at home on night 2. And then we got a couple more super chats real quick. Scotty Sailor, thank you again, Scotty. $1.99 super chat saying BTR as it were in the house. Big time Rubenstein.
Hashtag as it were. If you know, you know.
As it were.
As if you know, you know. And our good friend Bigfoot Sneakerhead, $1.99 saying he's going to Wally Mania and then to WrestleMania on Sunday.
What?
That's awesome. BFS, I went to Wally Mania a couple times.
BFS, how have you not like message me this? You did not tell me you were going to Mania. That is awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Brother.
Send us notes if you can. And
yes, please.
Yeah.
Good idea, bro.
It's gonna be good, man. I mean, there's so much to look forward to this weekend. Yeah, I just think this is going. There's gonna be so many high points, right? Like, there's not a lot of filler matches on any show this year, and in fact, so, I mean, it's overflowing into Friday now. You know.
My only like small gripe, and I'm being spoiled by this Mania. I know I am, right? Cody's finally winning the belt. It's all I seem to give a crap about, right? So it's finally gonna happen, and I'm still bitching, right? Well, here's what I'm bitching about: it's that Bobby Lashley, Profit versus Karrion Kross, rando six man like that. I'm good friends with two of the guys in that match. They're gonna get great paydays. Like I was telling Raj earlier, I'm happy for them for that. It doesn't belong on Mania. It does not belong on Mania, though.
My opinion. Promo on social media last night.
He does great social media promos. Those are his best work, I'll argue. Watches. Yeah. He does very good work when he's able to control the environment and the editing and things like that. He does really good work on social media posts. I just, with promos. But, like, just the match itself, it just feels forced. And I've not been given enough repetitions to care about Karrion Kross and his new, you know, group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate him saying that. I hate saying that as a friend, you know, but whatever. I'm supposed to tell you guys the truth.
I mean,
well,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, it'll be a good match. It's just that the story they've told to date it's not cooked, you know?
And I think a lot of us were expecting Montez to kind of break out by now.
Yes.
It feels like he's kind of been held back with this faction. And he should be higher on the card as the singles by now, in my opinion, from last year.
The minute they started airing both he and his wife's reality show on Hulu, I'm sorry, what are you doing, WWE? You're not featuring him, putting him in a tag match and a six man. Put him in the singles. He's ready. This dude is beyond ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
Karen Kang, this is my kind of dish. Fish pakoras, kebabs, garlic naan, and butter chicken, brother.
God, you all got good tastes.
Yeah.
But we went way longer than expected.
Yes.
I'm surprised you guys were still going. I was like, there's no way they're still in the air.
The punk stuff went a while.
Yeah. How heck of an interview. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. When he was talking, Glenn, did you get the vibe that like he was purposely trying to go out of his way to like stick it to AEW? Or did he come off like honestly, like I don't want to talk about this. This is so annoying. I hate even have to bring this up, but look, this is how it went.
It seemed like he was keeping it very real, but what's interesting though is when he said that the aw shucks, happy to be here, Phil stuff he was doing, that he was just leaning into what he thought that crowd wanted to hear. And I was like, whoa, that was like, you're telling me wrestling's fake? Like, this is all set up? It's tough to do something like that. Because Matt, think about the most sincere promo you've ever given. Mm-hmm. Like, if you came out later and you're like, I was just telling the audience what they wanted to hear, prisoner of the moment.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough, man. Like, I don't know that you shouldn't mess with people's memories like that. He could have said, I did feel that way at first, and then I realized what a shit show it was.
Yeah. Well, good. Actually, that's not a bad catch, Glenn. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's my main note. You know, that's but I thought the rest of it was nice.
That's your main note. What about him getting an injury and AEW doing literally nothing to get him a doctor to do the surgery? I don't know. Paying millions of bucks to this guy. They don't even take care of the dude's health. They don't get him set up with a surgeon. They don't get him set up with PT. That's a joke. That's a joke. That is the most disparaging comment in that entire interview that hurts that company, in my humble opinion, the most.
Well, and especially given what he went through with WWE.
Yeah. Now,
you know.
Yeah. I just thought his body language was very different versus the fired up Phil when he did the Colt Cabana podcast just to throw a grenade on that bridge to WWE, right? Where he was just going for broke and just burying everybody and like right back, everybody is just burying.
Yeah.
Versus this style, again, to me, body language is important. So is facial expressions. I watch all of that. I don't think he's making any of that up. I don't think he was exaggerating. I think he was flipping annoyed to have to talk about it. Yeah. And it gives off that vibe.
Well, and to that end, it is interesting that I don't think... Well, it was fascinating hearing him talk about that disastrous media scrum. That was like when he just had enough.
Yeah.
And I don't know, knowing some of the people involved with that, it's an interesting story. The stuff he couldn't talk about, like Brawl Out, that was...
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty clear in setting his boundaries, but I'm curious... I don't think he has heat with WWE, but at the same time, like, if I'm WWE, I'm thinking it's great to have him back. We're going to make a lot of money together, but we also need to keep this guy at arm's length because at some point, everything we trust him with, he could burn us.
I don't think you're that concerned about it.
Yes. I see if you're WWE, Glenn, why you might think that. But with my opinion, there it's a different WWE. This is not Vince anymore. True. This is Nick Khan's WWE, right? Where he's going to let CM Punk be CM Punk because CM Punk is what brought him to the dance. CM Punk is what puts asses every 8 inches, even if he's talking about a different company. For those of you, he talked about AEW, long as you talk about WWE. Well, guess what? Every one of us at WWE fans, we wanted to hear all that. We did.
Yeah. And crazy that he narked out Bayley on inviting him to that Raw.
Well, obviously, it's okay to do so at this point.
I know. That's always funny.
Euro Nation on what they're having for a WrestleMania 26 vodka sodas.
Wow.
Euro Nation.
They can keep up with you, Raj.
Yeah. Euro Nation.
No kidding. And pronouns, pal, is Skyline Chili that night.
I love that name. I love that name.
Yeah, pronouns, pal. So, all right, well. Glenn, do you want to do the honors? You want me to do it?
Sure. So everybody, we need you to do us a huge favor. Raj, his ego is entirely driven by engagement and he has all the money in the world. His parents, you know, famously threw away that contest he won as a child for all the He-Man figures. He's still trying to compensate that hole in his heart. And the only way he can do it, not with gobs and gobs of cash and buying himself all the toys he wants, he needs subscribers. And so what we need you to do is go to our YouTube channel at Gigantic Pop on YouTube. And we need you to subscribe to the channel. If you want to click the bell notification, because we're going to be going live. You could any time of day, you could just get that notification like the bat signal. And we're right here. And we want you to join us because we want you to partake in the gigantic popness. So please be sure to subscribe. Follow Raj on Twitter. He's at the Raj Geary. That'll pump his ego up a little bit more. Matt's at BP Matt Morgan. Matt's got more subscribers than he knows what to do with. He forgets he has his Twitter half the time. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. I'm never going to break 10,000 followers. Something in the algorithm is just trying to deny me that, but we're going to be here all WrestleMania weekend. Talk with you about NXT Stand and Deliver, to talk to you about WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2. There will be news. There will be surprises. There will be hot takes. All that and more. So everybody, happy WrestleMania week. Remember, if you leave a beer out Friday night, Stone Cold will pass by your house and give you a hell yeah for WrestleMania. So everybody, on behalf of Matt Morgan, Rosh Geary, and myself, we will catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.